Good morning. I was having a call with Brad on Wednesday night, and we were just preparing for today. And, you know, you get aggressive, and then you get passive-aggressive. And I felt as though I was dealt a passive-aggressive statement on Wednesday, where he was just like, PJ, you got to know, schedule's quite busy for the Sunday, so, like, don't go too long. So, now he's surprised. Yeah. Anyways, good morning. We continue in Advent today, and as you've seen with the Aravia, I was standing over there with tears in my eyes watching my daughter and my son and all the other kids sing and speak over them. I'm like, we don't even need to preach. We just need to worship this morning because that's what Advent is about, right? And it's really sort of captured the essence of peace. And as we go over here, I had when the schedule came out for Advent, I was chatting to someone about that I would be doing peace and I'd be doing love. And someone said a statement to me and they said, well, how can you preach about peace if you don't have it? And I was like, okay, well, challenge accepted. I need to dig a bit deeper because we go through Advent and we speak about these things and it needs to be a fresh word. It needs to be seen in a fresh light. And that's what my hope is today as we speak about this, that you would just encounter the Prince of Peace. You would just go deeper in a relationship, and you would just allow the authority of Jesus to come into your life. And that's really where the hope is today. So we've got a text that was already written this morning, and I'm hoping that you would see it in a fresh light. Before I go on and pray, I need to say something. So there was the women's ministry on Monday night, and Mel was speaking. And I'm glad that anybody who heard that the woman may have been touched by what she said. I was hoping, though, that if she had taken what I said should have been spoken about, the men would have been touched. But anyways, we'll just leave it over there. If you know, you know. And if you don't, well, maybe you don't want to. Anyways, let's pray. Father God, I thank you that we can wait with expectation for your coming again. Lord, I thank you that in darkness you have shined light. Lord, I pray this morning that there would just be renewed relationship. Lord, I pray that there would be an opening of your authority into hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would just fill the atmosphere here this morning with your peace. Lord, I pray for hearts to be softened, hearts to be opened, ears to be opened. And I pray for your word and your word alone to be spoken here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Can you turn with me to Isaiah 9:6? And I've got it up over here. I just want to read it, and then we're going to speak into this word this morning. So Isaiah 9:6, it was read here this morning, and we're going to pick up over here. It says here, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Jesus, bless this word. Before we can go into that little gem of 9:6, and I'm sure many of you have heard it, I was down in the U.S. Last month, and there was this national carrying of the Christmas tree that goes to the White House. And each year they do this to draw the American community together, so there's a community that donates a massive Christmas tree. And this tree was 60 feet tall. It goes in the back of a truck. And the stop was in Oklahoma City. And everybody comes in and you get to write on the trailer of the truck. And I wanted to put the Barclays name on this truck. And what I put over there, everyone said, "Merry Christmas, you know, hope you have lots of cheer." And over there in bold Sharpie, I wrote Isaiah 9:6. Because the world needs to know what the true gift is. And the kids today, if you listen, and my kid included, everyone was excited about the presents for Christmas. And the fact is, I want to speak to you about the gift that we've been given at Christmas. We get to celebrate that. And that's what Advent is about. But before we can go to 9:6, I need to speak to you that this is in the backdrop of chaos. If you look in Isaiah 1 to 8, what you see there is a picture of chaos. You see a picture of corruption. You see a picture of a culture that had given themselves over to other gods. You had seen what people would refer to as moral decay. People not firmed up in their identity. It was dark. Sound familiar? Yeah? Sound familiar? If you go to the end of chapter 8, the last words that are spoken over there, it was verse 22. And it says there, "And they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into thick darkness." Doesn't sound like a very nice Christmas thing. Well, not a nice thing that you put in a Christmas card. This isn't something that you would see with snow falling looking very romantic. The backdrop of Advent was darkness and chaos. And then we come in to verse 9. Because you know that God doesn't leave us in darkness. The whole story is that there is a story of good news. And the good news is ushered into chapter 9. And immediately there's two words I want to speak. Actually, just one for the moment. Chapter 9 starts with the word but. So you've got chapters 1 through 8 that speaks about all this darkness, all this corruption, all this chaos, all this worshiping of false gods, a country that was facing international threat, imminent war, there was conspiracies galore. It goes on, there's darkness, there is anguish, there is gloom. What are we going to do? Chapter 9, we start off with but. But. And what that means is, notwithstanding the first 8 chapters, there is good news. There is light to be seen in the darkness. There is, to us, a child is given. A son is born. To us, a child is given and a son is born. And you come to think of this in terms of what they were facing. That darkness, you're thinking, we're going to need to shore up our army. And yet, there sits the preparation of a prophecy about a child that is going to be swaddled in a manger. And there you start to see how opposite God's kingdom works compared to the ways of the world. A child is given, a son is born. In there is new light to address the chaos that has gone on that we've just read about. And over there, that captures the very essence of what Advent is. God sending a son, his son, to usher in a divine kingdom. And in that divine kingdom, we will find the things of hope and joy and peace and love. And today, we speak about peace. So now we can get through into 9:6. It's important that you understand that context. This isn't just something that is poetic that Isaiah is writing. It's beautifully written, but it's not just a poem. This is speaking about a divine royalty. A divine royalty, something that is miraculous, something that is not of this earth. And you need to understand that in ancient times, when the herald or the messenger would declare a king, usually what they would do is they would give multiple names. And those multiple names would give an idea of what that king's mandate was. But this wasn't an earthly king. This was a divine king appointed by God. And in there, it speaks of wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, just to speak about the eternal care that you have access to, and Prince of Peace. This is the multifaceted identity and character of Jesus, the Son who was born to this earth so that we may experience peace. That there is the essence of Advent. And now we go back to 9:6, and you read it, and there's only 3 points that I want to share with you today. Just 3. You still with me? Good. All right. So, Sherry, whenever you're ready, if there is signal. Oh, there is signal over there. I just don't have it up there. The first thing that I want to share with you is that peace is not an escape. Peace is a person. We live in a world, Sherry, can you go to the next slide for me? Look at that. I don't know if travel agencies still exist, but when you walk in a mall and there is a travel agent, I promise you, you will see one of those posters on there, and usually it'll have the title, So-and-so Island, where you can encounter peace. So-and-so Island or destination, where you can escape to encounter peace. And that's what the world thinks. The world thinks that you can escape the chaos. And God is saying, it's not about escaping the chaos. It's about enduring. It's about, that's not the way the world works. The world, it isn't an escape. This is about a relationship. And in 9:6, it starts over here and it says, "For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given." That's not an escape. That's not something that you run to. Because when you run to and you come back, your chaos is still there. Your problems in your life are still there. What you start to see, it is a son and it is a child. It has an identity of a person. And when you look at the backdrop of chaos into what we experience now, what that is saying is that it's not about escape. It's about a relationship with a person. I want you to consider this just very carefully. When you look at peace, the question shouldn't be, where do you escape to? The question should be, who do you engage with? And it starts with a relationship with Jesus. And my challenge to you this morning is, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Is that relationship found? Because peace isn't the absence of chaos. Peace is the presence of Christ. Do you have Christ in your life? Do you have a relationship with Christ in your life? Do you have the ability, the what has been given to us as a gift? Remember that word given. Do not forget it. Because you're no different from the kids that were on the screen this morning that said, you're excited about the presence. Don't lie to me. You all want presents. But I'm telling you, the best present that you can get is the presence of Christ in your life. And it has been given to you. And that's what we get to celebrate here as we lead up to Christmas. We all hear the lie of there's a way we can escape, or there's a technique that we can do if we just do this. And it's saying, no. Your relationship with Jesus is essential. And that means that when you find yourself in chaos, when you find yourself where maybe it isn't so fun, or when you find yourself in a way of the world that is saying, this does not look like peace, you can walk that relationship with Jesus, and people will look at you and say, how is it that you have peace in amongst all the things that are going on? And you can say, it's because I got a relationship with Jesus. Jesus given to you. A son given to you. Even if it was just you on this earth, it would still be for you, Dave. Just a son for you. And you need to understand that yes, presents are nice, but nothing comes in comparison to the Son, God Himself, made flesh, came down in a very countercultural way, in a manger, to be laid there so that you may have peace, notwithstanding your circumstance. All right. The next point I want to share is that Christ has authority over your life. This over here is important, because in 9:6 it says here, next verse, and the government, not next verse, next line, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. The government shall be upon his shoulder. There's a lot there I need to share. All right? When you think of this, you need to understand again, there's a secret there from ancient Hebrew. You need to understand a bit of that, and I'll share a bit on that. But you need to understand that God's kingdom rests on the shoulder of Jesus. What I'm speaking about is I'm speaking about justice. I'm speaking about decisions. I'm speaking about outcomes, and the future have been placed on the shoulder of Jesus. Now, it's important shoulder because I thought, you know, you kind of read through these things and you're thinking, shoulders. Put this yoke on my shoulders. But it's shoulder. And you need to understand, in ancient time, again, when they appointed a king, when they gave the king the key or the seal or the chain of authority, it is appointed on a shoulder. And it is symbolic. It's symbolic to say that it's not shared, it's not divided, it's on one person and one person alone. God placed the kingdom, the decisions, the outcome, the future on one shoulder, and that shoulder was Jesus. Right. And then they go on to say, mighty God who has the ability to withstand and hold. Understand that single shoulder. And what is that saying to you? Because I want to ask, what are you holding in your life that you're not supposedly holding? You see, because God holds the kingdom. Through Jesus, that authority has been placed on a shoulder, and He is mighty and He is strong to hold it. He has the ability, He has the authority. And I'm asking you where you are today in what are you holding that you shouldn't hold? What are you gripping onto that perhaps you need to let go and someone else carry? Because Jesus, the mighty one, has the ability to hold the things together. Are you concerned with your future that has left you anxious? Are you concerned with the outcome of something that has led you to doubt? Do you find yourself just trying to hold order in your life? And as you hold in that order, you're like, I can't do this anymore. And you shouldn't. Because there is a mighty God that wants to shoulder it for you. Doesn't necessarily change your circumstance. Jesus is not necessarily going to change your circumstance. And a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about Peter on the boat. And we spoke about the storm and the winds that came up. And Jesus was sleeping in the boat. I don't know how many of you can remember the word, but as epitimao, the authority over those winds made them settle. And in a moment, Jesus can do that. But sometimes, He's not going to take it away, but He's going to step in when He has the authority. And in that, you'll be able to endure, right? You sometimes think that peace, again, is that absence of chaos. It's not. It's the relationship with Jesus, knowing He's in your boat with you. And I can't shake this picture, but I've got three kids. One is just so good for cuddles, and the other two are becoming somewhat functional, okay? And when they become functional in my household, that means that you start doing some work. And I never believed it, but now I've experienced it, that you get an older child and you get a younger child, and the older child is usually an A-type personality, and the younger child is just like, oh, my legs are tired, and you can figure out who I'm speaking about. Okay, so the other day we go to the grocery store, and we're going through this grocery store. I'm actually going to say it's a positive thing. We go to the grocery store, and the kids want to help me. And the kids will get they've each got their own baskets, and they're walking around, and Victoria puts in the pasta, and then we go and get some meat, and she puts it in over there, and this thing's getting heavier and heavier, and she's pulling it like this. And then what you've got is you've got Evan, he's smarter than what you think, starts putting in the lighter stuff, and he still carries the basket. And then what you've got is you've got Victoria that's walking through the shop like this, pulling. And I'm like, my love, let me help you. And she's like, no, I can do it myself. And Evan's back here with the light stuff. And he's like, my legs are tired, Dad. Can you help me? I'm telling you that we need to be more like Evan when it comes to our relationship with God. Why do you want to struggle like Victoria when you've got a mighty father, thank you, that can pick up the basket and relieve her of the pain of pulling this along. Evan's back over here, way smarter, and he's like, Dad, can you just pick it up? And I'm like, sure, my boy. And do you want me to pick you up too? Because your legs are tired. And here I am walking. And that's the image that I want you to have of a mighty God and an everlasting Father that is available to you in a gift for Christmas. Right. And we get to stand up and we get to say, God, I can't carry this. My legs are tired. And He will do it for you because you have that relationship and He is your Father. And He's not just your Father today and He wasn't just your Father tomorrow. He is your everlasting Father that walks with you into eternity. That there is the beauty of the authority that you get to invite into your life. And I emphasize invitation. Because remember, God came into this world with Jesus as a baby. It wasn't trumpeting in front of a cavalry of horses. They were running in ready to overthrow the destruction that we were reading about in 1-8. He came humbly. So how do you expect Jesus, who came in humbly into this world, to come in boasting and bashing into your life? It comes with humility. It's by invitation. And you get to extend that invitation. Remember, I want to go back to it. Given. The word given means that I can receive or I can say no thank you. You get to decide. But when you allow the authority of Jesus into your life, your world will change. And notwithstanding the weights of the things that you're carrying, you get to give it to your Father and say, I can't carry this. And it might not mean that your circumstance is going to change, but you know that you're not the one that is holding it together. You're not the one that is just pressed down by the weight of the world on your shoulders, because the mighty one has the weight of the world on his shoulder. He is enough, and he is enough alone. When you invite God into your life through Jesus, that authority comes over all your circumstances. And no matter what happens, no matter how big the waves, no matter how chaotic things are, Jesus has the final say. And Jesus gets to say in a moment, epitimao, over your circumstance. He gets to rebuke what the enemy wants to come weigh down. Don't be like Victoria. Be like an Evan. Learn quick. Don't struggle. Just say, God, just take this from me. That's the invitation. And there is a Father that wants to walk that road with you. The third point that I want to say is that peace is the atmosphere of the kingdom. We've been speaking today. I've heard this word, the Prince of Peace. And we hear it Christmas after Christmas, the Prince of Peace. And it's the last part over there. It's everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. When you go back and you look in Hebrew, the word Prince of Peace, originally spoken, Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom. Now let me start with Shalom. Many of you have heard that word, but that means wholeness, completeness, equilibrium, the way in which God intended it to be. But the word Sar is an interesting one for me because it's administrator. It's an administrator that dishes it out. This isn't just sort of a token prince that sits on a throne and looks pretty as he loses his hair and he tries to overtake the Commonwealth. This is an active administrative authority in the kingdom who stands there and administrates and distributes peace. Now you're going to say, how do you tie this to Christmas? I'm going to tell you. Oh man, when I was younger, I used to be an altar boy. And I couldn't get this picture out of my head all week while I was preparing this. Now you got to understand, we went to midnight mass on New Year's Eve going into Christmas. And now what happens is that our church had four services, maybe one on a Saturday, two on a Sunday morning, and one on a Sunday night. And there were these altar servers that would help with each of these services. But you need to understand the best of the best. And I'm telling you now, like the best of the best, you had to put your time in, got the invitation to be the altar boy at midnight mass, or the altar girl. And you start and you learn the ropes and you, this is what you do. And man, as an altar server, you were the one that wanted to be in that number. And there's a whole bunch of perks that came with it. One, you didn't have to sit there for 2 hours in the carols and whatnot. You could be at the back. But there was also the other things that you got to do, where it's like you got to light the fires and you got to light the candles and ring the bells and all of these things. So you start out, and the service that I used to do in the morning was 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And I did it with pride. Quick side note, I always made sure I sat on the left and not the right, because we had this massive brick wall, and the brick wall over here had this knobbly brick, and if you sat there, it went in the back of your back, and you didn't want to sit there, you wanted to sit on the smooth side over here. Anyway, side note, make sure where you sit, that's for free. So, you go through the years, and you do these things, and then all of a sudden, some of the altar servers, they start retiring. We're talking 14, 15 guys. Right, they start retiring, they start releasing them to greener pastures, and then one day you get the call, and then you go and do your first midnight mass. And you do that first midnight mass, you got to understand that there are 4 altar servers that night. And in that, you're basically just you're just part of the group. You're not doing anything if you're the 4th one. You realize that you need to understand the order of these things. You are the junior one. And you go through a couple more midnight masses, and then all of a sudden you become the head honcho. Now, I remember being the head honcho altar server one particular year, and I had the privilege of getting the incense ready. Right. And the incense, you'd be standing at the back and had this candle where you light these little charcoal cubes. And as you light those charcoal cubes, they would start to burn. You're going to put them in the little chamber for the incense. And you need to realize, guys, I just want to be very clear over here, this isn't the cheap incense. This isn't the stuff when you go to Bonnie Doon Mall past that place and the stuff like burns your eyes. This is sweet aroma incense. It is beautiful. But you got the opportunity to get those coals going. And you put those coals in, and as you put the coals in, you're hearing outside the carol service is going, Emmanuel, our God is with us. So if God is with us, who can be against us? Emmanuel. Right. That is just one that stood out in my head for me this week. Okay. Anyway, now what you do is you put the incense on. A little bit goes a long way. You put too much on, you'll be smoked out. I promise you. Okay. This is experience. A little bit goes a long way. It's a little spoon like this, and you just start putting those incense. There's little saps on the coals, and it starts to just fill the room at the back. And then the people sitting at the back of the church, as they're going through the carols and getting ready to midnight mass, they would start smelling it too. And the head honcho server, he gets over there and he holds the distributor. I'm going to get it wrong. I don't even know the name. But you hold it with so much pride. You've been given this authority. You've been given this authority as the head honcho in the service, and you go and you get to distribute it, and you distribute it. And you have to go to the back and you go and put some more on. A little bit goes a long way, and you come back and you distribute it. And this room, Queenswood Parish, just fills the room with the smell of incense. And it starts off with a smell. It's something, man, that smells amazing. And you wait a bit longer, and there the head honcho swings it a bit more. And all of a sudden, it goes from you can smell it to like, ooh, my clothes smell of this stuff. And then you go a bit further, and it's like, oh, my hair smells of this stuff. And I'm telling you again, it's not the cheap stuff that is painful. It is the sweet stuff. And I couldn't get this picture out of my head of this head honcho Pete that was there standing with the authority to distribute. And you need to understand, when it comes to the kingdom, Jesus has been given that authority to distribute peace. And you didn't understand, when he distributes peace, he is the one true head honcho, right? And he stands there and he swings it. He distributes it out. And at first you smell it. In the midst of your chaos of you trying to hold your world together, you start to smell it. And then you go a bit longer in this relationship and he's just standing there and he's distributing it. Puts a little bit more in. A little bit goes a long way. And this cloud just starts to come up, and all of a sudden your hair starts to smell of it. And all of a sudden you start to breathe it. You start to breathe the stuff in. And as you start going through your chaos, as he distributes this peace, and this peace fills the atmosphere, and it goes into your lungs, all of a sudden you start facing circumstances and you realize, I can endure. I can go just a little bit further. As I take this in and as I breathe it in, it's giving me the endurance to just go a little bit further. And there, the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, the distributor of peace, fills the atmosphere in the kingdom. And I want to ask you, where do you want to be? Do you want to be on the outside, or do you want to come in and breathe in the atmosphere of peace? And when you breathe in the atmosphere of peace, I'm telling you, your world changes. Your circumstance might not change. But remember, circumstances can change in a moment. And circumstances can come and go. But the one thing that remains the same is the atmosphere. And the atmosphere is something you can breathe in. And when you breathe it in, and you breathe it out, all of a sudden, I feel a little bit lighter. All of a sudden, notwithstanding my circumstance, I'm like, maybe I can just go another day. You know what? People looking from the outside and they say, how can you just have so much peace? Do you not see the walls coming down on you? And you're like, God is holding them up through the power and the authority of Jesus that has been given. A son who was born comes into my world and can hold them up. I want to invite the band up. I love Christmas, and I love Christmas even more now that kids start to press the boundaries of when the Christmas tree needs to go up. My house growing up, 16th of December, Christmas tree went up. We'd go pick it up in the morning, we'd go and do a family event in the day, and then later that night we'd come and put this Christmas tree together. 16th of December, I'm not saying 16th of October like some of you guys over here, right? 16th of December. And now my kids come, and it's early November, and it's getting dark, and some snow, and it's getting cold, and they're like, man, let's get this Christmas tree up. I'm like, no, let's wait off one more week. You know, Auntie Angie's coming, we can put it together, just trying to find every single way. And then one day, Mel just calls me out, and she says, stop being such a Grinch, let's put it up. I was like, oh, okay, fine. You go and pick it up, pick up the decorations, bring up the tree, and you just see, man, these kids just with such excitement. And you're picking up Evan and you put him up and he puts his decoration on. It's a Spider-Man decoration. And then Victoria's got her decorations. And then they're like, there isn't enough decorations on this tree. Mel looks at me and she's like, go and get more decorations. So I go down, I get another box. Victoria's at the top of the stairs and she looks down and she's like, he's bringing up more decorations! And there's an excitement. And we need to be like those children. We need to be like those children when it comes for us to just be excited for the second coming of Jesus. Jesus has already come, and he's coming again. And we should be saying, man, he's coming, and I'm so excited, and I can't contain it. And I don't want to wait for tomorrow, and I don't want to wait for next week. I want to declare today. Because you need to understand that the best gift of all that you can celebrate is that you have access to relationship. You have access to the power of authority over your circumstance. And when you allow that in, you got the head honcho that's going to be distributing the peace that will seep into your clothes, every single fabric, will seep into your hair if you have it, and it'll go into your lungs and give you the endurance that you need to go through your circumstance. So I'm going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to give it to Brad to hand over. But as we just celebrate peace this morning, as we deal with the topic of peace, I want to challenge you and I want to ask you is, man, have you been feeding into the lie that peace is an escape or peace is you're looking at your surrounding circumstances? This morning, you have access to a relationship. You have access to authority. and you have atmosphere, you have the access to a new atmosphere that's going to give you the ability to endure. Brad, I hand it over to you.